Today's gospel lesson comes from the gospel according to Luke, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 10 again this week. Normally we have a choral anthem right now, but we had a whole segment of our choruses in Winston-Salem as a baby's being born today, and so no choral anthem today. We're going to get right into this sermon series on change for good. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 37. You'll probably recognize this as Jesus' great commandment. You've heard it before. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" he said. "What is written in the law?" Jesus asked. "Do that." And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And so, a Levite, when he came to the place where he saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. And he went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine over them. And then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave it to the innkeeper. And he said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever you spend.' Which of these do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" He said, "The one who showed mercy." And Jesus said, "Go and do likewise." That is the word of God for us, the people of God. Will you pray for me, church? And I'll pray for you. Oh Lord, you have laid out a commandment for us that by your strength and by your grace working in us, it is not too much for us, but rather something that we can do and we can find life in. And so speak to us today, oh God. Empower us as your servants. Speak to us, God, and we will listen. Amen. So in Matthew and Mark's gospel, Jesus tells us that there is nothing greater than this. Love the Lord with all your mind, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. It's called the Great Commandment for a reason, and Jesus isn't making anything up new here. He's just quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6 and Leviticus chapter 19 and kind of mashing them together. Luke puts the Great Commandment, though, not in Jesus' lips, but on a lawyer's. And when Jesus hears about it, he affirms the lawyer's words. Jesus says, do this, and you will live. Last week we talked about that Greek word for live there. It's zoe. It is where you'll find the vital energy for life. You'll find abundant life. That's what it means. Now I want us to think about what's at stake for us. What is at stake for us in getting this commandment right? If Jesus isn't leading us astray, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say Jesus isn't leading us astray, if Jesus is right, then what is at stake for us is greatness and abundant life. Greatness and abundant life are at stake for us. Now, we can memorize all the scripture we want. We can bust the church doors wide open every time they're open. We can pray amazing prayers. We can impress people. We can raise good kids and be a great success. But if we mess up on loving the Lord with all of our mind, our heart, our strength, and our soul, and our neighbor as ourselves, we missed out on life. We missed out on greatness. We settled for mediocrity and just let excellence sit there in the wings. And I don't know about you, but I don't want mediocrity for myself. I don't want it for my kids. I don't want it for the churches that we serve. Because the scripture that we read out of, the Bible, it's not a mediocre book. It's been changing lives for thousands of years. We don't serve a mediocre God. Christians, the ones who went on before us in the faith, they weren't mediocre people. We call them saints. And I'm willing to bet that each one of you in here do not want mediocrity for your life. Amen? And so that's why we're spending the next several weeks looking at the Great Commandment and discovering together how we can grow and change along the spiritual lines that are laid out in the Great Commandment of loving the Lord with our heart, our mind, our strength, our soul and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Now, none of us in here are perfect. What I want for my life and for your life is to see how when we commit to growing along these spiritual lines together, we discover greatness for our life. We discover change that matters, change that sticks. And so today we're going to look at loving the Lord with all of our strength. Now, the Hebrew word that Jesus is quoting here, he comes from the book of Deuteronomy. It's actually an adverb. And if I were to literally translate this section of the Great Commandment into English, it would sound something like this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your muchness. With all your muchness. That means that everything that's awesome about you, that makes you awesome, love the Lord with that. Everything that's like weird and quirky about you, that makes you weird and quirky, go ahead and love the Lord with all of that. Now, since this is such a big word, the muchness of you, I want us to pay attention and hone into something that we haven't paid much attention to in the church. In the church, we pay a lot of attention to spiritual stuff and mental stuff and committees. We like committees. But if Jesus is telling us to love the Lord with all our muchness, then that includes our bodies. And that makes more sense when we hear the word, love the Lord with all your strength. And if you think about it, it's kind of weird that the church hasn't been talking about the body much. Because of all the religions and all the philosophies in the history of humanity, we are the only one that claimed God became a body. That is, the church believes that all of God dwelt fully in a Jew named Jesus. And that Jesus is what God looks like with skin on. And that he suffered in a body and that he was risen from the dead in a glorified body. That bodies matter so much to God, that God became one. That bodies matter so much to God that he became one. Early Christians took this very seriously. In the Apostles' Creed, the earliest confession of faith that we have, we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body. That is, we believe that when God the Father gets everything he wants finally, that God will save us in the same way that he saved Jesus, by raising us body and soul from the dead. And so hear this, God doesn't just want to save your soul. God doesn't just want to save your soul. God wants to save you, and you are body and soul. The early church said things like this, for that which Christ has not assumed, he has not healed. That's St. Gregory talking in the midst of a big church fight with these super spiritual Christians who tried to say that the only thing that matters is spiritual stuff, that this body stuff, it doesn't matter at all. They said, oh, Jesus, he just appeared to suffer. He just appeared to be a body. Really, spiritual things are what matter. And these super spiritual Christians, they kind of tended to go one of two ways. Either they were very ascetic and were abusive to their bodies through harsh ascetical practices, or they said, hey, the spirit, the body doesn't matter, so let's just get drunk and go to orgies. Because, you know, it doesn't really matter. As you can imagine, the church didn't like that. Both of those groups were proclaimed to be heretics. Because we believed, and the church believes, that God made humanity part from creation. Part from the material stuff. The stuff of the ground. And then God breathed God's self into them. And so that we are part material and part spiritual. Humans are material and spiritual beings, and that both of these parts are good, and both of these parts are interconnected. And right, we know that our body and our soul are interconnected, so when you go out and you really mess up and you do something you're ashamed of, what does your body do? Right? You go out, you hit a home run, what's your body do? Yeah, I just did that. Your body and your soul are intimately connected to each other. What we do to our body affects our souls. What we do to our souls affects our bodies. Now, because bodies matter, the early church would go out and they would do things in worship. They would kneel. They would raise their hands. They would lay prostrate on the ground. The very central act of worship in the early church was the very carnal act of eating a meal together. Bodies mattered. Bodies mattered so much to the church that they would go out and they would rescue the babies that the Roman Empire exposed to the elements. That was a common birth control practice in the Roman Empire. They would take unwanted children out and just expose them to the elements. And Christians, because bodies mattered, they would go out and rescue these babies and adopt them and bring them into their homes. The Romans looked at them like they were crazy. Hey, look, that's just a baby. What are you doing that for? Bodies mattered so much to Christians that when plagues hit Rome, The leadership left Rome, and Christians hit the street and started caring for the sick. In the medieval ages, the first Western hospitals were started by Christians. Why? Because bodies mattered to the church. But then something happened. The Enlightenment. René Descartes. I think, therefore I am. What is essential about a human being is the mind. The mind is the most important thing. And so church architecture changed. We moved pews in. And the pastor looked out and sees lots of little floating heads around that they cram information in. We put pews in. And then faith became overly scholasticized and intellectualized. We started having revivals in England and colonial America. And we moved from just the talk about the mind to we wanted to get in the business of saving souls. We're going to save us some souls today. And so we went out and we saved a lot of souls. But we neglected the body, an essential part of our faith for the first 1,000 years. And here's what happens when the church quits paying attention to the body. Here's one example. Clergy, people like me, have become the most unhealthy of all professions in America. Here's a quote from the Ohio Conference of the United Methodist Church. We spent more money this year on clergy medication for depression, cardiovascular disease, and sour stomachs than we did on benevolence. More for preventable clergy health care than we did for the mission of the church. Let that sink in. Our leaders were leading our congregations astray by their lifestyle. And I don't just blame them, because they grew up in a church that didn't pay any attention to the body, never talked about what bodies are for. And because of that neglect, we missed out on the mission of the church. Now, I was upon that path 2 years ago, confession time. I found myself in the emergency room. I thought I was going to have a heart attack. I thought I was having a heart attack. I was very convinced I was just dying. And it turns out my heart was fine. And the doctor came up and he said, "You're not having a heart attack, you're having an anxiety attack." I never had an anxiety attack. I just thought that's how it felt when you died. And the doctor said to me, he said, "Could you give me just a medical history? Have you been in any stressful situations lately?" And I said, I was a cocaine addict in 03 and 04. I went to Fallujah to war in 05. I got clean from drugs and got a woman pregnant in 06, and our daughter died when she was a month old. I left the Marines and went to college while pastoring 2 churches at the same time. I got 3 degrees, got married, had a kid. We got another on the way. Now I'm pastoring 2 churches and starting a nonprofit farm. And he said, "That sounds stressful." "Do you think," he said, "you could fit some exercise and change your diet into that?" And I said, "Yeah, I think I can." And so that December when I started that, I weighed 203 pounds. I had pre-hypertensive blood pressure. I knew enough to know that I couldn't make silly goals like, "Oh, okay, I'm going to lose 20 pounds this year and start a crazy diet." That doesn't work. What I did was I made 2 changes to my life, only 2. I said, "I'm going to make sure no matter what, I'm in the gym 4 days a week. Whatever it takes, I'm going to be in the gym 4 days a week," and my wife supported me on that. And then I said, "I'm going to make sure I eat a healthy breakfast every day." Just 2 small changes. And I figured I could work with that, and that by year's end, the results would take care of themselves. And that's when I met Coach Julie Livingston with Chattoog Strength. And her class became one of the workouts I did every week. And she's a great coach, but being a part of that class, being around other people that inspired you as you went along, by the year's end, I'd made even more changes in diet and nutrition and exercise and things like that, and I dropped about 35 pounds. Jason Shook and another pastor down the road and I, we ran a 6-hour adventure race together last summer. No more anxiety attacks, never had one since. Blood pressure is normal. I have more energy. I get more done, I work less hours a week, and I get more accomplished. I'm a better husband, better father, and a better pastor because I love the Lord with all my strength. I want us to pay attention to our bodies, church. This is what the scripture says about the body. "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit and that you are not your own? For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God with your body." That's 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Paul thinks that God dwells in each and every one of us in here. that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in us. And he uses language of servants here. You have been bought with a price. He says that because of Jesus' death and resurrection and our baptism into his body, we are no longer servants of sin, no longer servants of our own selfish desires, but now because of Christ, the Holy Spirit dwells in us and we are servants of God. We are empowered by God to let God's love flow through us to others in the world. Our bodies are not our own. Let that sink in. That is a radical thing to say in 2018. We say things like, hey, this is my body and I'll do with it whatever I want to do. My body, my choice. And Paul says, at least for Christians, oh no, it's not yours. You are a steward of a great gift that's been given to you. It's called a body. Now, a few weeks ago, I had my old truck worked on, and it was going to take longer than they thought. And so the guy, the mechanic said, look, you can just take my car and do whatever you have to do, and I'll call you when we're done. And I got in his car, and it was immaculate. Cleanest vehicle I've ever been in my life. And I thought of my truck. But I drove it around. I drove to Shooting Creek and to Murphy and around town. And when I got out, I filled it up with gas. I even took the mats out, and I'm like, dusted them off. Why did I do that? Because it wasn't mine. It wasn't mine to do with whatever I wanted to. It had been trusted to me. It had been trusted to me, and I was supposed to take care of it. Well, so too, Paul says, your body. Your body is not your own. It is a temple of the Holy Spirit. You've been entrusted with it. This is what Paul says in Ephesians 5. He says, husbands should love their wives as they do their own bodies. No one ever hates his own body. Clearly, Paul didn't see Twinkies and McDonald's coming, right? No one ever hates his own body, but nourishes it and cares for it just as Christ cares for the church. You see, while Paul is teaching husbands how to relate to their wives, he's also teaching us about the body. That our scripture, it just seems to assume that we are caring for and nourishing our body. And I think this really takes us to the heart of what Christians talk about when we're going to talk about bodies. We're not talking about six-pack abs and fitting into skinny jeans. Who cares? Who cares? There's a reason you wore those jeans in high school. Stop it. Right? We're not talking about perverse body image pictures that lead to eating disorders or feelings of shame and guilt. We're not talking about that, okay? We're talking about caring for and nourishing our bodies. Caring for and nourishing our bodies. When we care for and we nourish our bodies through good eating and healthy exercise, it helps us to be a better spouse. It helps us to love the Lord our God with all our strength. It helps us in everything that we do. Paul says that we should do this because this is how Jesus cares for the church, that he cares for it and nourishes it with his own body through the Eucharistic meal. Now, before I let our panel come up here and share with us about how it is that we can love our bodies and how it is that we can nourish and care for them, I want us to talk about why for just a second. Why for Christians? You heard Luke's gospel and the story of the Good Samaritan. You're probably familiar with it. Did you notice what the Good Samaritan had to do? He had to pick a man up out of the ditch, put him on a horse. Right? It takes a healthy body to pick a man up out of the ditch. We nourish our bodies, we care for our bodies so that we can be part of God's mission in the world. We take care of and nourish our bodies so we can fully participate in God's mission. Listen, friends, life is short, and I don't want to check out of here early because of some preventable health care problem. Right? I want to be in God's mission as long as I can be. I'll never forget the very first funeral I ever preached. The guy was 50 years old, had a massive heart attack, showed up dead on arrival at the scene. And the people said at the funeral home, well, I guess it was just his time to go. No, it wasn't. Right? He had been drinking and doing drugs for 40 years. It was not just his time to go. He had done this to himself. Now, I'm going to tell you something that you already know. All bodies are not created equal. And that's because everybody's mission is not the same. You see, you don't have to be young and fit to serve in God's mission. God wants me as a 36-year-old to serve in mission differently than Pastor Gwinnell does. When I see Pastor Gwinnell and she's in the gym and she's pumping iron in there, it inspires me. I see Gwinnell in there, and it inspires the heck out of me. She's battled rheumatoid arthritis since she was in her 20s, and yet she has served in God's mission and continues to serve in God's mission faithfully. Bodies are different, and so we have different missions. But both Pastor Gwinnell and I are called to care for our bodies, and that looks different for her than it does for me. And so too for you. It's interesting that Christians, the Christians that pay the most attention to the body, they live longer, and strangely enough, their churches are growing. The Mormon church is the fastest growing church in America, growing 4% a year. Mormons have very strict dietary laws and rules. Seventh-day Adventists, their average life expectancy is 8 years longer than the average American. Seventh-day Adventists don't consume caffeine, alcohol, tobacco, and most of them are vegetarians. The result of loving the Lord with all your strength and paying attention to your body is a longer life and more life in your years. I want to say this. We can do that. We can do that. We can love the Lord with all our strength and find new vigor for life. We can stop treating our bodies like amusement parks or a neglected, foreclosed-on building and begin treating them like the temple of the Holy Spirit that they are. We can care for and nourish our bodies when we realize that they're not our own and that we're stewards of a great gift that has been given to us so that we can be a part of God's mission. And when we do that, God will do amazing things through us. We find the greatness that Jesus promised in the Great Commandment, a new vital energy for life. And the really cool thing is that when we ask God for help in loving the Lord with all our strength, God will give us help in that. God will give us help in that. And so the gospel challenge is really simple this week. Here's my challenge to you. This week I want you to do one thing that you know is beneficial for your body. Only one. Like if you try some crash diet and you come back here next week and you feel bad, it's not my fault. Do one thing that you know to be good for your body this week and then repeat. Keep doing it. And then look at it and say, stop doing one thing that you know to be harmful to your body. Stop it this week. Just one thing. And I can promise you that by this time next year, you will have more energy, you will be healthier, you will be more vital, and you will be a greater part of God's mission. And you will be loving the Lord with all your strength. Amen? Amen. Amen. All right. Now for the real show. I have some panelists that are going to come up, and we're just going to pass the microphone around and interview each other. And we may even field some questions from the audience. So come on down, panel. Just sit wherever you want, and I'll fill in the blanks. All right. So I'm just going to pass the microphone around. That's working good. This is the first question that we have for you all. I'm going to let them introduce themselves. I want you to introduce yourself, just your name, and tell us what you offer to the community in regards of exercise and nutrition. Okay? Coach.
Okay. Is this right?
Yes.
My name's Julie Livingston, and I own Chattook Strength, and we offer a variety of classes anywhere from we have Pilates to dynamic movement, which is our more intense class. And then we also have now a core strength class, TRX classes. And so we try to encompass it all.
My name is Andrew Jones. I'm the director of the Recreation Center here in Hazel. Everybody is welcome to come there if you live in the county. It's a small charge to come use it. We're open 6 days a week. We have several exercise classes. So come on down and check it out.
My name is Shannon Summers. I'm a registered dietitian with Clay County Health Department. This is a little more loaded question for me. I have a variety of programs that I offer related to chronic disease prevention and management. So one program that I do is called Project 24. This is a year-long lifestyle change program that is designed to prevent diabetes among people who are at risk. So to participate, you just have to be 18 and older. overweight and at risk for diabetes. So just have certain risk factors related to family history, exercise habits, things that that nature. I also offer a diabetes self-management education program. So this is for individuals who have been diagnosed with diabetes. It's a series of four classes where we discuss nutrition, monitoring blood sugars, physical activity, and how to prevent complications. I also do medical nutrition therapy, which is one-on-one nutrition education for a variety of diseases and conditions, high cholesterol, weight loss, again, diabetes, kidney disease, really anything that has a nutritional component. And then lastly, a program I was just recently trained in but we've not yet offered that might be of interest to the congregation is a program called Faithful Families. And it was a program that's developed by NC State University. And it is a series of 9 classes that is delivered by myself or another Faithful Families coordinator in conjunction with a lay leader from a faith community. And we discuss, again, healthy eating and physical activity with a spiritual component. So there has to be, like I said, a member of a congregation in connection with it. And so it's a new program that we have. We've not yet offered it, but I brought a copy of the curriculum if anybody wants to look at it today after the service.
Am I on here? I'll let you guys hold that. Okay. Okay. So we'll just stay with you, Shannon. Okay. What inspired you to get involved in exercise and nutrition as a profession?
So I got started with this as a profession because I was very athletic and into sports, especially during high school, and I noticed such a strong connection between the way I fueled my body and how well my performance kind of was in those sports as a result of that. So I thought I wanted to do sports nutrition, but I just realized that in the field of nutrition, my passion lied in other places, but that's what got me started.
Cool.
Career, I guess, started out mostly in adventure recreation, outdoor recreation. It's what I did before I came to the rec center. Along that path, I got my personal trainer certification. Sort of like what you said, I wanted to put more life in the years. I've got 3 kids, so I wanted to be able to go and do with them and keep up with them. And it's just sort of going on from there. And yeah. Trying to eat healthy and exercise and helping other people get on the same path.
That's great.
My path is also similar. I was a high school and collegiate athlete and actually ended up studying exercise science because it meshed really well with my sport, meaning that I could still do my sport and take classes. ended up that route and then have just always continued on with obtaining a master's degree in exercise science. And truly, I love it. It's what was meant for me to do.
That's great. What has been the most dramatic transformation that you've seen in a person's life through the services you offer? And this can be mental, emotional, physical transformation. When you think of that, what's the most dramatic transformation you've seen in someone through your work?
So I actually really struggled with this question when you assigned it. And sitting back there, when you told your story, I realized that I don't really know because, excuse me, when we put a workout up on the board, and some of you guys in the audience have done this many times, we put a workout on the board and I watch my athletes' eyes get about this big. And they're like, whoa, I'm going to do that? And they do it. They get it done. Every single time they get it done. And that ability to overcome that workout is such a small thing in that hour, but it changes people's lives. Mm-hmm. It changed your life just a little bit. Yeah. It changed some of you in the audience's life just a little bit. That stress that happens within your body that you overcome, that is a stress that then you overcome an argument with your boss or an argument with your spouse or just getting through the day. Your body, the internal part of your body, your muscles, the inside, it doesn't know any difference. It just knows it's a stress. And overcoming that stress in a workout translates into life. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a big inspirational, dramatic story. I just work with athletes. I just get you through one workout at a time, and those workouts get you somewhere else in life, a better place. Yeah. And that's dramatic enough for me.
That's good. That's good. Good answer.
I would say I've been at the recreation center for a little over 10 years now, and from the time that we opened, there has been one individual that's been there from the beginning. The first time I saw him, he was coming up the sidewalk in a walker. He had had either back surgery or a knee replacement. He's had several surgeries throughout the years of such things. He would come in every day, come up the steps or up the ramp with his walker. He'd come in, he would do what he could do, he would go out. After a while, one day I looked out, here he comes with a cane. Walker's gone. And this progressed to where he would come in without a cane, and he would come in, he was faithful every single day. And he was persistent. Like I said, he's had several surgeries. I would, not see him for a while, get word that he had had another surgery, hip, knee, he's had all kinds of stuff. He would start back again, and he would just say, no, I'm not going to be laid down, I'm not going to be an invalid, I'm not going to be bedridden, I've got grandkids, so he had drive and he had persistence, and he didn't let whatever bumps were in the road slow him down. He still comes in today. So he's sort of an inspiration to me to just keep going, and no matter what gets thrown in front of you, to just keep at it.
Yeah, that's good.
My biggest transformation that I've witnessed was in a lady that's 55-year-old woman, I believe, that completed the Project 24 diabetes prevention program I was mentioning back in 2016. And over the course of that year, she had set a pretty big goal for weight loss and had ended up losing 28 pounds, which is significant, but to her wasn't, where she wanted to be. And now, a year and a half later, past that, she's a little over 75 pounds down overall. But what is most impressive to me about it is not the weight loss, but it's kind of what you were mentioning, that she embraced the fact that really small changes can make a big difference and then built on those. So she had this big goal, and I even remember in that first year she came to me and she said, based on what you've told me to do, I'm not going to reach my goal weight until 2018. And in 2016, that sounded like so far away. Mm-hmm. But now she's there. She's made little changes. I just saw her recently, and when she started the program, she could only do maybe 10, 15 minutes of real low-intensity activity, maybe a 10-minute walk a day. And she set a goal for herself, and she did a program called Couch to 5K, where she basically just built very gradually on her exercise tolerance and increased it little by little. She began running 5K races about a year ago now. I just ran into her in the community recently, and she actually won her first 5K for her age group recently. Nice. So she's just embraced that it's these really little things. She'll tell you her biggest change in her diet was that she went from eating fruit snacks to eating real fruit. And so it was just those little things, but she really embraced that and decided that it was okay if it wasn't the quick weight loss journey that everybody wants, the fast results, but rather the small and gradual changes that have really made a difference. And nearly 3 years later, she's still going with it.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I've seen, I have a good friend that struggles with weight, and my whole family has a history of struggling with weight, but this guy, every year he does the Atkins diet and he'll lose 30 pounds every year, and then every year he gains 35 back. And it's just, that dramatic change, it just rarely works because you can't sustain it. Yeah. Okay, here's another question. If you could give only one piece of advice to us about exercise and nutrition, what would that one piece of advice be?
So it's actually not my advice. I'm kind of stealing it from someone else. Michael Pollan is an author that writes a lot of nutrition books, and his quote is, eat food, not too much, mostly plants. And that's his quote that I essentially live by and like to tell everyone. The big reason being there's so much confusion and mixed messages around nutrition, but this is just such a simple message. Just eat food, not too much, mostly plants. It's simple, and if you can do that, you're likely on the right path.
Yeah, that's good.
I guess my advice would be to start small. The smaller you start out with and just incremental changes, it's going to be more sustainable. And like you said, the crash diet, most good things take a while. Mm-hmm. Exercise is a very good practice in patience also. You will get there. You just got to keep at it and don't give up. Start small and just add a little bit as you go along.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm also going to steal one. It's been said for a long time that if exercise could be put in a pill, it would be the most prescribed pill ever. Like, yeah. Every doctor would prescribe you an exercise pill. Here you go. Mm-hmm. 20 minutes a day. Here you go. So that's what my prescription is for you, 20 minutes. And don't feel like you have to go out and run for 20 minutes. A 20-minute walk, 20 minutes of that Jane Fonda video that's collecting dust on your cabinet. Any of those work. Just 20 minutes a day.
Just move. Okay. Yeah, you get that one. Okay, here's a good one. If there were one myth or lie surrounding exercise and nutrition that you could dispel, what would it be?
I think mine would just be that people believe that they're not enough, that it's not enough, and you are enough. You can do this. You might just walk. Everybody else might run. That's okay. You just go out and do it. Don't feel like that you have to follow some prescription. You don't have to fit in the skinny jeans. You don't have to have a six-pack. There is a woman right now that is one of the, like, leading Instagram. I'm not a big computer person, but she's leading Instagram. She's, like, 180 pounds. Everything that is not what you would envision as a fit person. But she has the biggest following on Instagram right now for exercise. Why? Because she looks like a normal person. She's quote, the average person. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important that you don't have to be a six-pack person. You don't have to be this. You are enough. You are enough to go out and exercise as you are. Good.
I'm going to talk about, just touch on nutrition just a second. Not that that's my, profession, but probably about a year ago, I made a pretty significant diet change for certain reasons, which I was really, really dreading. But my input on that is a lot of folks think if you change your diet, you have to eat healthy, it's not going to taste good. That is false. I'm thankful for my wife. She's not here today. She's an excellent cook. But the internet, there's so much more resources out there today of what to cook, how to cook it, how to make it taste great. I don't miss anything that I have cut out of my diet. So the resources are there. It's much, much better than what it used to be even 5-10 years ago as far as information and availability of foods or whatever you have to change in your diet. So that is there. As far as the exercise portion goes, the myth is, you have to work out 2 hours or an hour or whatever to make it worth it. That's not true. Yeah. Just like Julie said, start out 20 minutes, just little by little. That's going to be more sustainable, and you're going to get on the right path doing that. Make that a habit.
Probably what I like to dispel is the myth that you can kind of fill in the blank, but that X is bad for you or that X should be eliminated. Really, the idea of eliminating an entire food group or eliminating an entire food in general, it gets away from that sustainability piece. It gets away from that kind of realistic eating pattern. So a big one, you kind of mentioned the Atkins diet, or a big one now is carbohydrates in general. They're bad for you. You shouldn't eat them. And when we kind of have this mindset around any food, whatever it might be, like I said, it takes away that sustainability piece, and it tends to not give you good long-term results. You're going to have fast weight loss, but it's not going to last. And that's actually a neat thing that you brought up. The Atkins or the low carb diet has actually been rated as the least sustainable means of weight loss among all diets that there are out there. So yes, restrictive diets may work in the short term, but for long-term success, they're just not going to be there. So instead of restricting, having more of an idea of all things in moderation can fit, it's just getting back to that idea of eat food, but not too much.
Yeah, good. All right, so that's all the questions I have for them. Are there any burning questions from the congregation that you would like to ask this panel of experts? Absolutely. Yes. Thanks, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
good.
I just found out I have high blood pressure. I take blood pressure medicine, so I'm trying to eat really healthy and try to do any suggestions I need to do.
For eating healthy.
For high blood pressure, the biggest thing you're going to want to watch for high blood pressure in your diet is going to be your salt. So just reducing the amount of salt that you're eating.
Okay, thank you.
Any others?
If you have limitations on your exercise, do you work with that?
Absolutely. We work around any limitations that we need to. We have athletes as old as 12. You guys are going to laugh at us as I say this, but as old as 12 and as young as 70. And I say that on purpose. We work around, we have backs and knees and shoulders and everything that you could work around. That is our goal. At Chattoog Strength, our goal is to make accessible exercise for everyone, for every limitation, for everybody. We are there almost every day, 5 days a week.
You have some information out there?
Yes, I have information.
We're going to have cards for them so that you can get their contact information.
Yeah, absolutely. She makes it sound like she just shows up. She actually does a lot more than some of those kids in class. So.
That's good. I saw another hand up.
We're located out of the rec center. We're at the rec center with Andrew.
The rec center where all the ball fields are at in town.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And this summer we are actually working with Chattoog Shores, to have a water aerobics class. Too, which is a great way for some of you to start, especially if you haven't been exercising because of the buoyancy in the water. It's a lot easier on your joints, and you can get full room.
Chattoog Shores.
It's the golf course.
Yeah. I don't know.
No, we'll have a contract with them, so you can come through us. Yep.
Great. So let's do one more question, and then, of course, our panelists will be eating with us here in just a minute after we take up the offering, and they might have time for some questions out there. Kathy, you had a question.
I just wanted to say I've started taking Shannon's Project 24 class this year, and it's all about making small changes, and I started to try and make some of those changes, and I can feel a little better here and there.
That's great. Is awesome. All right, let's give them a big round of applause. Good done. Thanks, man.